It's time for The Citizen Lobbyist, a discussion of local, borough, and state politics featuring Terry Snyder and Mike Malefsky.
How are you?
Well, Citizen Lobbyist, I am doing fine. How are you doing out there in the world?
I'm doing good. Looks like we're going to get some winter here pretty soon.
That is what I understand. And in particular, for those people who are listening, we've been talking about the probability of some nasty driving on Monday morning. Looks like there'll be snow starting Sunday into Monday morning, and the temperatures will remain low. And that, of course, leaves all kinds of interesting things to be experienced.
About time.
But let us begin by wandering back to last week. We did not talk about the school board meeting that happened on the 17th, I think it was, if my dates are right, 17th of October. And this was an important meeting in part because it included, they wrap into that, the swearing in of the new members of the school board. And they do things a little bit differently there as compared to the assembly. The assembly has a special meeting, does certification, et cetera, and then people do not participate immediately in that meeting.
Right.
So I happened to be there. I streamed that meeting, and so it was pretty quick. And after the oath of office was given to the new members elected on October 2nd, actually there was just one new member, a gentleman replaced Debbie Rutherford, and Mr. Berge replaced Debbie Rutherford, and he participated in that meeting. He said a few things, but he was, as very often occurs when you're first sitting up there, doing a little bit more listening than speaking.
Right. You know, I kind of was thinking, I actually caught the very last of that meeting on our stream, Mike, and listened to his comments. Mostly were about, in fact, they were only about the presentation by the students in Sutton, which is part of his district now that we've gone to redistricting our school boards, unlike what Anchorage does and still is at large. But I was thinking about, you know, it's about time, I would think, for the Alaska School Board Conference to come about. Alaska State Association of School Boards, is that right, Mike?
AASB, Alaska Association of School, yeah.
And they always had, for years, have sent new school board members to their boot camp there, sort of. You know, they train new school board members, bring them up on issues around the state and how what they might be facing sitting up there. And since our school district has pulled out of that association, it'll be interesting to see how they bring Mr. Berge up to speed, because I always thought that was a great benefit of being part of that association. So.
And there is an internal process involving both the school board member and the administration in order to do that. I would have to agree with you. Having gone through the process myself, I found that one of the things that was very helpful, since school boards, no matter how much a school board might be different for a local district, there are some similarities of things, in particular a good practice, operation, all of the protocols that make the school board meetings work pretty well. And the association, in my experience in the past, has done a good job of bringing people along. And you've also pointed to issues that are common to all districts across the state. And that's always been one of the interesting questions when people look toward the legislature, and they're thinking about making recommendations. If you're a school board for legislative help, it could be just legislation. It doesn't always have to involve money. And it's been my experience was it was always helpful to be able to see where something could be done because of the large number of school districts that had a similar issue that they needed resolution, and yet you're right. At the moment, at least, the district has, the school board itself has voted in a very close vote to not participate. And the comments were, I can remember the discussion around that issue, and legitimate comments made regarding the dollar amount, the cost. It's not just a small amount of money. But again, it's subject to change, and it could be that they will return to working with the AASB in the future.
Yeah, a parallel of that, I think you'd agree, Mike, that is the Alaska Municipal League that the borough belongs to and the municipalities, the same sort of thing. They get together every couple years. They talk about legislation that they might be faced with the coming year, some of their, and they do a lot of training. They have a boot camp too. And thus far, I know it was attempted a few assemblies back to pull out of Alaska Municipal League, but they have stayed steady with it over the years. And I don't expect that's going to change. I think Mayor Halter has been very involved in that. And I think that's the key to these organizations is you get what you put into it. And if you have assembly and board members that get involved in those organizations, just as you would in the private sector, and you work with your colleagues and you are able to build sort of a force to reach out to when you're having issues that you might need a little another set of eyes on, it's really, I think, a benefit. So we'll see what happens, but it'll be interesting to see how Mr. Berge gets up to date on what's going on. If you haven't attended a lot of school board meetings or listened, it can be pretty overwhelming to get into these seats with a lot of things historically that you have to deal with, plus particularly with, I think, the school, there's just every day something's new, and there are challenges that you have to deal with. So we'll see what happens.
Right. So the next, really the focus of considerable time, in addition to approving a number of grant acceptances and so on, really to focus on a second reading initially of the what is referred to as the 4000 series of policies. That and I'd almost say to listeners who are you know, sort of casually aware of, or in some narrow way aware of the school district, a look at some of these policies and the requirements, and they cover titles such as drug, tobacco, and alcohol-free workplace, gifts to school personnel. You begin to realize how complicated a world is, and if in the world of running a school district, and if you have good policies in place, that are reviewed and taken a look at from time to time to see if they're really working or not, or they're necessary or not, then things can run smoothly if questions come up. And those organizations that have failed to do this, failed to review their policies and have become outdated, those are the ones that very often become embroiled in all kinds of legal actions and nastiness. So this 4000 series, it's available, by the way, and this is what I would recommend people do, is if you go and take a look at the website, Matsu K-12, you will find that there's a reference to the board, and there are agendas and all of the packet of materials available for perusal. And as you go through them, you can see that those three people, and there were three three board members, Sarah Welton, W. Rutherford, and Yvonne Ruth, met and revised that series. And this is not something you do just one time. It's the second reading and all the rest of it. But just for example, what guides the employment of relatives, for example? What about codes of ethics? Do they exist? Well, they are all there. And there are far too many sections here for us to talk about very much, but only to point to the fact that the district is and the board is serious about it. And the next series coming up is the 5000 series, and that will be dealt with at the next meeting. So just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Yeah, those are the sort of the mundane things that people forget that go on. You know, it's not just public service isn't always, you know, for some members, it's just showing up for the meetings. But a lot of work goes on before you get up there. And this committee has really been diligent and just kind of quietly behind the scenes doing this, but bringing it, as you said, it gets lots of public airing before it's voted on, and renewing those things, these living documents, so to say, are really, really important. And they're not done all that often because they do take a lot of staff time and public official time. So, yeah, it's really good to see that they brought those up and are working on those side rails, Mike.
And there's one, maybe one other comment that I would make about an item that, that affects people, maybe listeners who have been in one way or another, using a school facility. And there was a first reading of the use of school facilities. And it's a, it's kind of, it means that as first reading, it will be discussed and acted upon later on. It was a first reading non-action item at this meeting. But basically, they pointed to the having, back in February, revised a policy dealing with a fee schedule for use of schools and turf fields, and what they were trying to do is limit the use of large blocks of time that would leave some people out. But the unintended consequence, they stated in this, was that there was a financial burden placed on nonprofit youth organizations that met there. So they said, "We got to do something." The proposed policy change eliminates the use fee at elementary schools for Mat-Su nonprofit organizations Monday through Friday. So it's kind of an interesting example of, you think you've got it right, you lay it out with one intention, you get, as we often find out, unintended consequences. So there'll be further discussion at the next school board meeting, but it looks like this would be something that would improve things overall.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I haven't read that particular thing, Mike, but I get a little weary when we make those blankets. Policy decisions, you know, there are ways of sort of means testing it for nonprofits, saying how many members they have, I mean, kind of breaking it down a little bit by usage. And, you know, the school district is, you know, it's a public facility, but those facilities are really expensive to keep up. And allowing the public, even, you know, to use it at no fee at all is really something I think they have to scrutinize a little bit. If you look at some of the examples in the lower 48, I mean, there's, you know, many, 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 many school districts that even charge for busing now. So we've been pretty lucky, and I think our user fees have always been really, really low for nonprofits, which includes churches and those sort of things, to use our school facilities. And it's good that the buildings are being used. But there are some costs of, you know, usage on infrastructure, and I'm not sure in these times if that's a practice that can continue without some scrutiny.
Right.
And so I think that should play into it.
Right. Very, very much so. Well, let's slip then to another meeting. There were a series of other meetings that happened, and we were running to make sure we were able to stream those, record them, et cetera. And most of these meetings are up. This week we had on Tuesday three meetings, really. Two over at the City of Palmer. One at 6 p.m. was a budget meeting, a special meeting, followed by the regular meeting at 7. And then simultaneously over there at the Borough Assembly meeting room, there was a joint Borough Assembly Planning Commission meeting. And we were able to cover all of them. We streamed them, and they're up on our website. So if people need to get more of that specific information, they can listen. But we'll start perhaps by dealing with the special budget meeting at 6 p.m. over at the city's council room. Basically, I'm not going to get into detail on it. The manager presented the budget detail, et cetera, to the council. Mm-hmm. It was part of that ongoing process for coming up with a final budget. But when they got to the regular meeting, There were some interesting things there. I think one of the presentations that was worth hearing, because it signaled some success, I think, and that was a presentation from the Palmer Museum of History and Art Executive Director Sam Dinges. And he did a good job of summarizing the way in which the Palmer Museum of History and Art operates and just what it does to operate. And most importantly, pointed out there had been a significant increase in the numbers of people flowing through the visitor center and the museum, some 20%. And I think the council saw favorably that this jewel, if you will, of a log cabin and facility is working pretty well. And they were appreciative of having him there. One of the most significant events, though, I think, was a very emotional piece that dealt with a resolution renaming the Sherrod Ball Field Number 1, which is kind of a generic name, as the Noah Meyer Ball Field. Noah Meyer was a baseball player who was killed or died recently in an accident, and the resolution renamed the field. And then later on, at Persons to Be Heard, Tim Rocky, who took off his reporter hat, put on his baseball cap because he had been a coach for Noah and really appreciated the action taken by the council doing that renaming. Very powerful moment, I can tell you that, no doubt about it. And then, of course, there are a number of boards and commissions that various bodies have. And in this case, the mayor was very busily appointing, nominating, and then having confirmed by the council a large number of people. I won't go to all their names for the Airport Advisory Commission, the Board of Economic Development, the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources Advisory Board, the Planning and Zoning Commission, and also an extension of the contract for legal services as they have been provided.
And most of those terms will last until 2021, so they're long term. I'm curious to see who was named as the member of the council to be part of the Board of Economic Development. Did they name?
I saw an interest expressed tentatively by Sabrina Combs, but Richard Fuller also did, and I think he's been on that. David Fuller, and he will be the person there.
Okay.
And then the other interesting name was Richard Best, the mayor.
Yeah, for the airport.
Yep. Basically, there are varying requirements for people to be part of any one of these boards and commissions. Sometimes you have to live in the city, sometimes you don't.
Right.
And she had decided, she said, prior to the election, there were three people that were running, and whoever did not, for two seats, and whoever did not elect, she was going to approach for that particular position. And Mr. Best was that person, and he agreed, and so away we go. His is a shorter term. It goes to October 2019.
So do you remember if that's a particular seat that you have to live in the city for, Mike?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Okay, full agenda. I was curious on that agenda, and again, I'll try to review those meetings because I was sorry to miss them, but the landfill, did that get much, or the monofill that they were renewing?
No.
That was a lot of part of the packet was so big, and that there was so much in that, so...
I do not remember an extensive discussion on that. It might be my lapse of memory, but I don't think there was. So, That's where we go. And then, of course, next week coming up, we have both a assembly and a school board meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And then comes the general election. And
right. And everybody will take a little break during that. I know looking at the assembly agenda, not without some interesting things. But it's not a huge agenda, but there are some things certainly for them to consider on those. And so we'll see how that one goes, Mike. And then they take a break after that until the 20th of November, I think.
Right.
So they'll have a little break in there. So those are online now at the borough website. All the what those pending agendas will be. It'll be the first actual meeting for new assembly member Jesse Sumner. So that'll be interesting to see how that all comes out.
And of course, interesting enough, though, Mr. Sumner and Tim Bove have both had some experience because they both were seated with the joint assembly planning commission meeting.
Ah, that's right.
So they did get a little bit of time there.
Oh, that's right.
And then the full regular assembly meeting will be the one that they're coming
that's
up next.
Right. Good point.
Okay, well, citizen lobbyists, thank you. That's what was fun. We walked through a bunch of stuff there. And look forward to next week. And with that, I'm sure you have put on your snow tires because the snow is coming.
That's what it sounds like. Well, they'll be on, let's say that.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
You've been listening to The Citizen Lobbyist, broadcast on Thursdays at 8 a.m. and repeated at 5 p.m. on Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. You can find the podcast at radiofreepalmer.org. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.